Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. It's time once again for the What's Your Weird Story podcast, your weekly podcast of the weird, the true life stories, the strange, amazing tales, the unpredictable, incredible stories that people who have experienced them in this life, they're telling them to us, and we're responding and listening and asking questions and doing what we do. That's what we do. I'm one of your hosts, Adam Beebe, and you know, perhaps we've met before, or perhaps you've met before with our other host, my dear friend, my oldest friend, the smiling sensei, Mr. Barry Johnson. Hello, Barry.
Hello, Professor. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you very much. I'm just sitting here welcoming all of our friends here in Weirdsville to the show.
I love it.
I can tell you're loving it. You're cracking up on great. The other side. Dude.
I was throwing you a lifeline there. You did great, man. You were on that tightrope, man. I love it. You brung it in. Beautiful. Beautiful.
You know me, I'll continue to dig myself into hole and with ignoring all lifelines.
It's great. It's great. How are things with you, man? Everything going well?
Yeah, dude, everything's good. You know, just same old, same old. Oh, dude, I say same old, same old, but I...
I'm supposed to ask you about saving the life of someone stuck in a bathroom somewhere?
Yes, man. Yes, okay. I am a hero. You know, not unlike yourself, who saved a bank from burning up a few years ago.
That's true. Yeah.
So I was at work, and I was out delivering, and I was running low on gas, and so I found, you know, I got on the little Google machine or Google Maps and found a gas station. So I went to the gas station, and I was just gonna, you know, be quick, you know, hit it outside with the card, and then be gone.
Boom.
But
yeah.
For some reason, the card wasn't reading outside. So I was like, well, all right, well, I'll go inside and take a leak while I'm at it, you know. And so, because that's one of the things that often as a delivery driver,
yeah,
you know, finding a place to safely do that.
Sure.
You know. So anyway, so I'll go inside. I don't see anybody inside the store. So I'm like, okay, well, all right. You know, and then, okay, well, there's a sign for the restroom. So I go back to the restrooms and, I walk by the door and I do my business. And as I'm walking, I could hear somebody, like, you know, in a closed off room.
Okay.
There's an employees only room that was next to the bathroom. I could hear somebody kind of talking. And I just was like, you know, I don't know. I ignored it. I'm walking out and I hear, you know, somebody like tapping on the door, tapping on the wall or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm walking towards the front and I hear this tap, tap, tapping again. I'm like, what is it? So I turn around and I go to the door and this lady, she's like, you know, she's tapping, going, help, help. I've been locked. I need to open the door. I've been locked in. And so... I was like, what?
So,
she's like, open the door.
Oh, that's so she's inside too? She's in the women's restroom, I guess?
Well, she's in the employees' restroom,
okay,
right?
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know, I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, I can't open it, it's locked from inside. So I'm like, or outside. And so, okay. So I look, there's not a lock. So I'm like trying to shake the door handle and, you know, it's locked. I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm kind of like, sports it a little, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, it's, you know, it's still stuck, and so I'm like, okay, stand back. And so she's like, well, stand back. I'm going to
kick it in,
knock it open. I'm going to kick it, you know. So she's like, okay. So, you know, but before I got to kick it in, I just kind of gave it a good shove, right?
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah. And so that was enough to like force it open, so I didn't have to damage your property. But yeah, I've got it open, and she was just like, oh, thank you. And I realized, oh man. She said, yeah, the owner was, you know, supposed to be fixing that, and he's supposed to fix it. He fixed it wrong, so she locked herself in there.
Wow.
And she's the only person that was working. And I was
How long
like,
was she in there?
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. But I said, I'm just glad that you were locked in there by accident, and it wasn't somebody had like put you in there by gunpoint.
Yeah, no shit.
Like that. She's like, that would be so much worse.
Wow.
So, yeah, so,
wow. What a story.
So,
man.
Yeah. So, like, if I didn't need the gas and I didn't have to find that little country store.
Yeah.
Because I was out in the country.
Wow.
And I didn't, if the card reader had worked.
Yeah. You'd have never known.
You know?
Yeah.
I would have never known. So I would have gotten in. And I wouldn't have, you know, if I didn't be like, oh, I'll go ahead and, you know, use the restroom while I'm here. Then, you know, that lady could still be in there.
Oh, my gosh, man.
Probably not still be in there. But, you know.
What a crazy story. What time of day was that?
It was, you know, like early afternoon.
Okay,
so like, or even like, you know, even might have been even before noon. But it was like, you know.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. She's lucky you were there.
Yeah. Like I said, dude,
you saved her life, man. Holy shit. That's great. That's phenomenal. Man, I don't have anything like that happened to me this week.
Well,
nothing even close.
That's not my average week either.
And this is not your average podcast. Our story today is so fascinating and fun. We had a great time talking to our friend Gloria.
Yes, we talked to Gloria Haas, and Gloria has a very different story, very unusual story, and like not really like any, I don't think anything we've heard before. We also had this was also an unusual week for us because I was having internet issues when it was time to record, and so I had to use my backup, which was my phone, and so unfortunately my side of the conversation sounds like I'm in a secret location calling in
locked in the bathroom somewhere.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm locked in, it sounds like I'm locked in the bathroom somewhere, which, you know, hey, maybe that is what was happening, who knows. Weird things have happened, but we hope you enjoy this. We had a really fascinating conversation with Gloria, and let's go ahead and get right in there. Gloria, thank you so much for joining us. What's your weird story?
Well, thank you for having me. Well, my weird story, people think that I'm actually crazy because I'm an extraterrestrial, gray extraterrestrial.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yes. We've never had this. This is fantastic. This is great.
And what happened was I had, as a gray extraterrestrial, I agreed that I would come to Earth. I had a choice of staying in search recovery or search, rescue, and recovery that I had been doing. Also, taking care of animals and plants. I enjoyed it. I wasn't bored. But I was given a choice of you can continue doing that, or you can come to Earth and take over the body of another person and, you know, part of your race. And there's a contract I signed, and I must stay to it. There are repercussions. I have already found that out. I've gotten rebellious twice.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Second one ended up with a head injury. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Dang. So,
okay, well, yeah,
can I ask when you inhabited that body? Was it at birth? Like, were you birthed into the world?
Actually, my human mother birthed a stillborn baby girl. And,
okay.
Yeah. And I went into the stillborn baby 5 minutes into the doctor could not get the baby breathing. So when I inhabited the body, there was brain damage, learning disorder, which the head injury is taken care of, which I'm glad. It was so frustrating.
Sure.
And some other, you know, I, of course, inhabit with all the DNA and everything. So.
Wow. Okay. Is there, is there, what can you be, can you be somewhat specific where you came from?
Yeah, we're a little lost for words here because, yeah, again, we've never had a guest like you before. So this is.
Yeah.
And we love the UFO stories and contact and stuff. But this is a whole other level. So, yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
The grays that I came from, Zeta Reticulan.
Okay.
Known as the Zetas or the Roswell grays. But yeah, I grew up on a spaceship.
Wow. Wow.
In a colony.
Wow.
Wow. Now, I, well, I guess we should not ask too many questions, Barry. We should just let Gloria talk. And I mean, tell it. Well, we will. But I mean, we're getting excited and we're, you know, I guess. So, okay. So, I guess we'll just let you kind of guide it a little. You came to, you were born on Earth. You came into a stillborn baby's body. And then when did you start to, did you know, how early on did you know that you were not a human child? Or were you, did your, was your consciousness fully there? I guess I'm still asking questions. Sorry.
No, ask. Those are really good questions because that's a lot of what people want to know. Because some people who come in, they lose that identity and have their awakening. And I've always had that consciousness. I always knew from the beginning. And I didn't lose that where some people do. But I guess the ones who have a more, I don't know, do we have a more refined purpose that we're supposed to start at a younger age, then we would know. And I've always known. My mom would even say, where do you come up with this stuff? You know, I would say, well, I'm not born of you and dad, am I? No, I gave birth to you, so I know that you are.
Wow. So did you do, like, when you were a little kid, did you do really good in school because you were obviously older than your actual birth age because you had already experienced life as a on another planet or in a space? Or did, were you just learning everything new?
Well, actually, I was. It's really weird because with the learning disability of the human part of me, there were some challenges, but also. Like when it came to my, I'll just call her my mom because that's, you know, my mom was teaching my half brother how to read. And there's a year and a half between us. So I'm sitting on the other side of the table and I could read upside down without a problem. Wow. My mom would tell my brother and I'd just be reading right along. I mean, I think I was 2 years old and I was. Two and a half, and I'm reading the street signs. And then my brother was about, yeah, because he would have been, if I was two, he was, what, three and a half. But then when he went to school, he was five, then I'm three and a half, 4 years old. So I still could, at a very young age as a toddler, read street signs. So I guess you could say I knew that. And then in kindergarten, when the teachers go, well, it was kindergarten when I went to school, that they had the alphabet across the top of, they had a blackboard with the alphabet, large A, you know, uppercase and lowercase, and I could just go right across there and just say it all.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. Are you in contact with them still? The other Grays?
Yes, I am.
Is this like a daily contact? Is this telepathy? Is this how do you converse with them?
I converse with them telepathically, and it wasn't always a constant contact with them up until a few years ago. And because I was being rebellious, was ignoring their voices in my head. And that's when they say, here, you signed a contract, you will do this. This is what you were for. And it's I'm in their employment, basically.
Okay.
So it'd be like you going to work and you're not following by the guidelines, you're going to get reprimanded by your employer.
When does the contract run out? When that body runs out? Does it, like, are you locked into a contract longer than you're in that body?
I will live, as far as I know, I will live out the lifespan of this body.
Okay. And then will you move on to something else, another body, or what does your future look like when it comes to that? I mean, how long is a lifespan is a lifespan in the Grays infinite?
No, it's not. They can live from what I've heard, 800 years. I don't know. Wow. I just know that I've been around as a Gray a very long time, and I've seen different scenarios of what I'm going to do when I leave here. So I really don't know. Some people know where they're going after here. I've seen myself moving into a house that I've seen since I was a child. And my dog passed away last year, and she's in that house. And I've been there with her, and there is my room, and she lays on the bed, and she waits for me. I have visited her there, and of course she comes here and brings a whole bunch of other things with her, like cats and birds and other dogs. And it's really interesting to see them all, in spirit form. And then I've also been told that I will go back to the Grays. And I don't know. I really don't know. And I'm fine with that. Wherever I end up, I end up.
So would you be transitioning back to another physical existence, would it spiritual, I guess? Would it be,
Well, if I join my dog, it's more spiritual, but more spirit form. But the interesting part is the house I thought was mine ended up, with all the different rooms. It has, I think, 7 or 3 stories. Another place had hidden attics that I was in with these really interesting staircases, and that was 7 stories. And it was really bizarre. And with that, when I look, it looks like people are in physical form, but we don't have to open any doors or close doors. We think it, the doors open, they close, and I can talk with people, and it's all telepathically. And if I go back to the Grays, I will then if I do take on, it would be probably a different body. I'm not sure.
Do you know other Grays that are inhabiting bodies? Do you know other people like you? Like, are you in contact with other Grays that are inhabiting human bodies that you found and you speak with? Or does that make sense? So I don't.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yes, I have. I've met one from the Grays. I've met two that are reptilian, benevolent reptilians, and one, some, and two of, well, actually three. Okay, one is benevolent reptilian, two are the Lyra or the Lycra, the cat people with reptilian cross. So I've met two of those, and I've met other people from, you know, who are star seeds, and I'll be meeting more as time goes on because I'm working with an organization who works with them.
Are aliens peace loving beings, or you know, like, I think everyone, when we talk about UFOs, part of the deal is people get kind of uptight about it because they're worried about an invasion. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Is that even on the table, or are we talking about sort of a harmonious thing? They're in tune with the galaxies, as it were. You know what I mean? Is it that? Is it that? Are they spiritually evolved?
Yes, they are. You have your nefarious, your mean guys, your very negative ones, and you have the benevolent ones who are peace loving, and they're both in existence, just like we have wonderful people and not so wonderful people on Earth. And so there is a mixture, and there are those extraterrestrial beings who have for years worked with our government, given them technology many years ago. Those are not conspiracy theories. Mm. Those are definite. Mm-hmm. And they've in turn have killed grays, and they've killed gray adults. I've seen gray babies. Wow. When someone has come across a really small one about, excuse me, the size, of maybe, you know, a couple of inches, 3 inches tall, that's a very young gray.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is,
So,
yeah, go ahead.
What is your objective on Earth, and what is I know you can't answer for every, you know, alien species out there, but what is the draw to Earth? Is it just that, you know, we got a lot of good bands, good food, or is it the people, or is it resources, or is it something that, you know, what is it that is the main that interest off planet extraterrestrial beings?
The disco balls from the
Yes, I knew disco fucked us, man. No, in a good way. In a good way.
Yeah.
They drew you in.
I used to have a disco ball, and then it got taken away from me. I don't think that was an alien. I think that was an old neighbor who was, had a bit of a substance abuse problems, but I digress.
I'm going to digress with you. Disco duck.
Disco duck.
Oh man. I loved disco duck when I was a kid. Couldn't get enough disco duck. Rick Dees, man.
Yeah. Yes.
So, what is the attraction beyond, you know, 70s pop music and culture? What is the draw?
This planet was a draw from the very beginning for the reptilians and then the other species because of they were looking, all of them are looking for a hardier race. Actually, how do we know that you and Barry aren't aliens from evolved from many years ago? We don't. We don't know. And there are some people, are they really awakened? Or are they just all human or they haven't awakened? But they look at, you know, there are people who say, oh, they screwed up their own planet, so they're coming here to screw up ours. Actually, they've come from the future. They're coming back to say, you're screwing up the planet. We've learned from our mistake. You're ruining the planet. You know, that's why when, you know, the different shifts in the atmosphere, the changes, the meteorites hitting other planets, changes the topography of an entire planet. You know, it could knock it out of what was once a harmonious, you know, cycle for that planet.
Right.
So what do? They go underground. They live in the center of the planet. They, you know, I used to play on Mars when there was water. I'm going to be serious. I remember seeing pictures and going, no, that used to be all water, almost like a big, huge lake or an ocean. So that tells you how old I am as an extraterrestrial. Wow. Very old.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Go.
And so that's what they're here for, is let's build a hardier race. Let's not make the same, we all make the same mistakes. History repeats itself how many times, how many years? Repeatedly. Okay, let's go ahead and let's try and get this right so we can live in harmony. But we still have the nefarious, extraterrestrials wanting to do their nasty deeds and corruption. So we're having positive and energy negatives fighting each other, which has been going on for eons. And it's like, and it's worse now when we add another species in with it that was supposed, humans were supposed to be a purer species than what came about. So, you know, more of the emotions. It's like with the grays, I've heard that when they started evolving, they lost their emotions. But I remember when I was a gray, looking out from my room, out into the universe, being with the animals inside of a planet, how much I felt. I actually felt. I had emotion. So I don't know, did some become more robotic? I would say yes. And so it's like they want to get that more nurturing and emotion back in with it, because there have been human women who have been nursemaids. Actually, we have people going into hospitals in the baby nursery, newborns, that have failure to thrive. They need people to hold them and love them so they will feel love in order to thrive. And so that's what they have with some human women. They call them, here people call them baby banks. But actually they're going into the nursery to where they can talk to the baby, hold it, and nurture it so it can thrive in a loving atmosphere and foundation, and that be built into it so it has the natural instincts.
Wow. I have, we're going to go in a totally different direction here a little bit, but I'm curious to get your viewpoint on this. Was Jesus an alien?
You know, yes.
Okay. I think so. That's too. I think so too.
You know, I was brought up in the Christian faith, and it just did not make sense to me the way it was being taught, the book of Revelation. And if you look at the whole thing with Enoch being taken up, you know, in the different things that are explained, is exactly what is going on with the extraterrestrials that we see. And also, if you saw the very first Avatar, their helicopters were same as what the book of Revelation describes.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things, and particularly the Old Testament, which, when framed through a more contemporary lens, are more mechanical and less mystical in the way they operate. And that it's where you have all these, you have different races, you have giants and you have Nephilim, you know, the giants and the humans and the watchers that God has put to watch over mankind and all of this. And we that's not often brought up in the churches.
Yeah, because, we poo-poo that a little bit. Yeah.
We skip that part, you know. You skip that part. You don't need to know all the begats and begats and begats and begats of who's who, whose dad was this guy and that guy and all that. It's there, but we jump over it, you know. But there's so much of where you had, was it was Elijah, I think, or Elijah, which one of them, one of the prophets, at least one of the prophets went to heaven without dying.
Elijah.
And then others, yeah, and others were taken up in, you know, a wheeled, a chair, you know, wheels of fire and,
right,
you know, all sorts of these things that, you know, it moves like if you had a wheel of fire, it could be a flying saucer, you know? I mean, there's all these things that are, yep, in the Old Testament, but also going back in, you know, around those same time periods as the Old Testaments are written and written about, you have all these other kinds of things throughout all this early histories of the world, the, you know, the pre-Common Era histories, especially pre-AD,
yeah,
if you want to go with that tiny,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
route,
yeah,
that have these kind of descriptions of these more elevated, higher beings that were, you know, called gods, dubbed gods and goddesses and angels and spiritual being, you know, or demigods and demons and monsters and all of these things that were part of, you know, the cultural stories and this being described, the encounters with these characters, with these things, you know, that could easily be interpreted now as encounters with extraterrestrial or even extra-dimensional type beings.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
You know, my question that pastors could never answer and that came into my thought was, okay, Eve had her children, mm-hmm, and then she had Cain and Abel, and Cain killed Abel. But Cain, when God sent him off, Cain said, but they, there are people out there, they are going to kill me. So God, mm-hmm, said, I'll put a sign on your face. Who are they? They weren't born of Adam and Eve.
Right.
Right.
You know, we have your prehistoric dinosaurs. I believe, you know, that you also had extraterrestrials on the earth. You had many, I believe there were many other beings and civilizations, mm-hmm, that, yeah, God created that once inhabited this earth.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah, there's tons of, I mean, eons of history that we just don't know because of, you know, culturally, our memory is so short. You know, we look back at 2,000 years and we're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That was a long time, yeah, ago. But, you know, we're closer to the construction of the pyramids now, in historically speaking, than the pyramids were to when the Sphinx was constructed, you know, and that goes so much further back. And we don't, yeah, know a lot of these things. We keep finding more stuff, but we also don't know how to interpret a lot of the old forgotten languages. And so much of our, histories were, you know, written over or just completely erased.
Yeah.
You know, by the early, by the early church, in, you know, the more contemporary time, the Common Era time, but also by, you know, whenever enemies would wipe out a nation, you know, you get rid of that nation, you get rid of the history, you make down their, you write their names down in the book of somebody you beat, and you don't go any further.
Yeah.
You know, so there's so much that could exist or did exist that we do not, simply do not know about because,
yeah,
we, you know, I mean, just natural disasters and everything that has,
yeah,
happened.
Yeah, that Graham Hancock movie did a great job of illustrating some of that. It's pretty, you were talking before about, you know, where do people go? They go underground, and there's mm-hmm, they found these, this underground city that was dug into the ground in Turkey. I think it's by Göbekli Tepe, mm-hmm, but they burrowed into the ground, and it goes like 8 stories into the ground down, and it was a thriving, it was a underground city for people.
Yeah.
So what you said totally makes sense. And I think we're discovering more about how civilizations, they come and they go. And we're just now realizing that in the year 2024, you know, science has done a lot to advance things, but we're still trying to catch up. And one of the fascinating things to me, Adam brought up Egypt, and it's like, you know, Adam and I agree. We think, you know, we totally think that that was, you know, man built. But, you know, I can't help but think there was, you know, obviously there was a celestial reason why they built those. But were they in contact, do you think, with the aliens? Do you think there was any contact between, like, you know, Egyptians or Greeks and, you know, aliens? I mean, is there any through line there?
Yeah. How do you know the pyramids were not a point of contact?
Right. People have talked about that.
And people are saying that there are tombs down underneath. And yeah, those are burial tombs. And it was used for the people of the time. But how do you know that energy didn't, I'm going to go out on a limb here, just talking for the sake of talking. How do you know the energy and the spirits of the people who passed, that energy went up through the top of the pyramid?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
We don't. And because spirit can go through anything. Spirit is not bound by anything physical. And I believe that the top of the pyramids were like for a point of contact.
That's so interesting. I've heard people talk about pyramids being like PowerPoints or like generators of some sort. Mm-hmm. That kind of falls into that. You know, it's like, because the pyramids were lined with what was it, granite? What was on the outside that the original, when they were finished, they were nice and smooth. Like they were a shiny shimmer to them. Mm-hmm. So what we're seeing now is obviously the decay of, you know, of what was underneath that. But it was at one time, it was, those looked nice and clean. And that's so interesting, man. Especially if you believe in the power of stones and things like that.
Well, there is power in stones. They've known that from a Stonehenge. People, you know, mm-hmm. haven't said that they've lost time around those stones. So how do we know that shiny stuff was not a conductor for messages, for time travel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anything's possible. That's what I love about this crazy world and universe that we live in, is that like anything's possible. The ether seems to be endless with ideas and thought components that we can tap into from time to time, you know?
You can tap into it all the time, but you just need to be open for it. And the messages can be overwhelming. I mean, I was starting to receive messages a couple of years ago. I'm like, why am I getting these messages? But I had denied certain parts of my extraterrestrial. I wanted to be of, you know, my history. I just wanted to be a normal human being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, but I have all these clairvoyant gifts. You know, I can remote view. And all of this, you know, I can move objects. I used to be able to levitate. When I came here, I could levitate. And I untaught that. Now I need to reacquire it. Because once you let it go and you say no, then you have to reawaken that metaphysical mm-hmm. gift. And it's not easy.
Right.
Trust me.
Yeah, Is inhabiting the human body a difficult thing to do?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Especially when things don't mesh together, and because you're putting in a higher dimensional, interdimensional being, spirit, into a 3D with all this density. I've had deformities, physical deformities that doctors couldn't understand. Why is her spine backwards? Wow. It arced backwards, and I had to do exercises, and still, I don't have to do them that much anymore to keep where my spine is supposed to be. And,
a backwards spine seems like that could be real. That seems a real, be a real disadvantage. I mean, something to really, really struggle with because of the way our bodies are naturally designed. You know, flipping that around. I cannot imagine what that would do. I cannot imagine what that would be like, except for extremely difficult.
Painful. And I was in marching band. So after marching, I would bend over and, bend over towards the front with my head towards my knees just to ease my back, and was on heating pads. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I went to I went to a doctor and said, my back hurts and always had. Well, other physical therapists just poo-pooed it and just said, well, there's nothing wrong with you, but one took exercises and she showed the x-rays. She said, how is this possible?
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And she said, we don't know what to do for you. All I can do is tell you how to, we'll send you back to the doctor, and sent the x-ray along. And he just looked at it and goes, I don't know why you're walking at all. So he gave me some exercises to hold my stomach in, to build up my core, but to also push my back towards the floor to get things moving into a more aligned position. And that is painful too.
Sure. I can imagine. You mentioned that you grew up on a spaceship, right?
Yes.
So what is the mission of the spaceship? Do they sort of just comb the outer banks of galaxies and look for other life forms, or what is their occupation? What are they trying to do? What's the goal?
The one that I was on was into search, rescue, and recovery. When extraterrestrials would come to Earth, some would get captured, even though we dressed in period clothing. And also it was in a different dimension of time as well. So we were going into different dimensions with to rescue. And one extraterrestrial was killed. I couldn't get near him. And another time I was in the same area and was able to rescue an extraterrestrial, only people were standing around the portal. And I had to shout, get us out of here. And we were beamed out, and we couldn't go back. And recently I went back to that area, and it was in England, the UK area.
Okay.
And it was during the medieval times, but it was on a different dimensional plane, because there comes a point when some dimensions die.
Okay.
And that dimension has died. I went back, and there's nothing living.
Have you gone into the Earth's future? Like, how long does the human race, do you know how long we stick around for? Do you have any ideas on that? How far have you gone?
Actually, I haven't really gone into that far into the future.
Okay.
But in 2020, November 2020, I looked at 4 years of the Biden administration and wrote down the points of what was going to happen. And I stuck it in a journal. Recently, I was going through some journals to see which ones do I keep, which ones don't I keep. And there was the page, and I read it to a friend. He goes, man, that was spot on for the full 4 years.
Wow.
And I knew that Biden was going to be elected.
Wow.
That I was told.
Wow. So interesting. what does your family have to say? Like, did you have an open relationship with your mother and father when it came to this stuff?
Oh, definitely not. They were very close-minded. We're looking at, I was born in the 1950s.
Okay.
And it wasn't until Star Trek came into being in the 1960s, something new with William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, yeah.
And my dad thought it was fascinating, and I related to Spock.
Yeah.
And when mm-hmm. they said about the space dog, you know, the poodle that looked like, you know, whatever they did to him, like, we don't do that. We don't have those kind of animals. But I could relate to Spock with being half human and half Vulcan. Here I am, half human and half gray.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember talking with my brother about it because he thought he was adopted. And my dad was his, we didn't know till after both of my parents were gone. I didn't know. And I don't know if my brother ever found out, but I didn't tell him because he became mentally unstable with his diabetes and with dementia and was very unstable. That my mom had been married. Actually, I remember seeing her marriage certificate to my dad in her top drawer when she asked me to get something. And I looked at the marriage certificate. My mom's name was not her maiden name. And I asked her about it. And she, from then on, they hid the marriage certificate because they didn't want my brother to know that my mom was married before, but who was his father? She never told anyone. She knew the parentage, but she told my dad it was a one-night stand with a sailor. But who, you know, she never told the truth.
Yep.
So my brother was talking about he was going to find his real parents. He didn't believe that our mother was his biological mother, even though she was. And he said, we were playing spacecraft. And I said, well, I want to go find my family. I want to go back to my family. Will you take me there? He goes, this is your family. I said, no, it's not. I'm not from here. Here I am, 10 years old. To have a brother, no, I'm not from here. I'm from space. And he stood there and laughed at me and said, you are really stupid. You're making this up so you can be the center of attention. And told my parents, and of course, they laughed at me. So, no. And even in 2012, my brother was drawing pictures of Grace. And I asked him, I said, can I have that picture? And he said, no, it's mine. I said, where, he goes, and he would draw from memory. I said, so, or he could look at something. He was an artist. He took art lessons and it was in pencil, in a shaded pencil. And I said, I would really like that. He goes, no, this is mine. And he had all the different angles of an extraterrestrial head and it was perfectly done. And I said, have you ever seen them? And he started laughing at me going, you're really stupid. And I think at that point he was an experiencer. I don't think he was like I am, to be quite honest, or he wouldn't have laughed at me the whole time.
Yeah.
But he said, you still believe that crap? That was it.
Wow.
I don't know. That sounds like a sibling to me. So, you know, because siblings will often say, you know, the meanest, weirdest things just to get a rise out of you. So as my sister often told me that I was a mistake and not planned when we were little kids, because she and I are only a year and 10 days apart. And I'm the baby of the family. So I definitely wasn't planned, you know. My mom says mistake doesn't cover it, but yeah. My sister still called me in that.
That's funny. That's funny.
But, you know, but yeah, that is wild that, I mean, that there is a family connection beyond just what you experience with your own existence, your own life, that your brother seemed to be having as well.
At least an acknowledgement, you know?
Even if he didn't verbally say it, it was on paper.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Have you written a book?
Oh, I've written a couple of books.
Let's talk about that.
Okay, the book that I wrote and published in January of 2023 was My Journey as a Gray Hybrid. I talk about from when I was, you know, my whole life, like I told you, with my Earth family, talked about growing up, what my first experience of a UFO as a child was. I was like 9 years old. And people say, weren't you afraid to see a UFO? No. I was ticked off that they dismembered a horse. And I don't know I don't know who I spoke to. It's like, what did they ever do to you for this? And then there was a long span. And I remember when I was 10, I looked up and said, can you take me out of here, please? Do I have to stay here? And I was ignored. I mean, I felt so alone. I felt abandoned. And then here I am in a family that had very close-minded, very rigid views, and very strict, along with abuse of all types that was going on. And I'm like, okay, so we're building. And now I can look at it and see that I was being built. How much can an extraterrestrial in a human body at my generation take regarding physical and emotional abuse? Mm. And that's where I know that. And then when I, you know, going through that, and they harvested my eggs. But then I talk about how there was a moment of, there was silence that I remembered from them until I was in my 20s. And then in my up to my 30s, there was some contact of some kind. And then after that, I don't remember. I remember dreams, but I have now that I know that there's more to those dreams. Those were abduction up to the spacecraft. And I remember being on the spacecraft. I think they gave me some respite from this world so I can get rejuvenated. And I remember after being impregnated with three extraterrestrial babies that were all raised on a spacecraft, that the Greys have a, you know, how you have baby showers and wedding showers. They have a banquet and a feast on the planet, on a planet, and in a planet, and it's beautiful, or it could be in another dimension, but they take people on wagons, what we call wagons, and we float into these banquet tents of all this food, and it's celebrating us, telling us that we did a good job. And they also have some other ceremonies, and I write about that in my book. And then I write about what my life was like when I, you know, came to Arizona.
Nice. That's awesome. And is that available on Amazon, or do you have hard copies of it?
No, everything's available on Amazon. Okay. My journey as a gray hybrid, it's up on Amazon.
Nice. And then there's another one. You've written another one.
Yes. And this one's a mouthful.
Okay, great.
It's the title, and it's available on Amazon now.
Okay.
And it's called the title is Extraterrestrial, Metaphysical, Paranormal, and Visionary Encounters for the Years 2022 and 2023.
Nice.
And with that, I show, I write about my metaphysical parallel life journeys, as well as when I get into 2023, there are pictures. And that's available in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. And there are pictures of when I've been abducted by the Blackfoot, the Bigfoot extraterrestrials. There is a branch that are ETs.
Oh, I love this.
And I show, even though it's not that much, but I do show pictures of where I had scratches and puncture marks from them.
Wow. That is awesome. That's amazing. I mean, what a life. What an interesting existence you have, and it's been a pleasure being able to walk a few feet in your shoes. It's been great.
Oh, thank you, guys. And I just want people to know, I love seeing extraterrestrials, and there was a time when my dog was so sick that I couldn't look out my window to see I didn't call the crafts. Well, last night, a couple of nights ago, I think the objects that were flying may have been portals. There's an expert in Brazil who is assessing the footage and some pictures that I've taken. And also last night, yesterday in the afternoon, I said, I'm going to be looking out my window and I would at this time, and I would really like to see a mothership because I haven't seen one since 2018.
Okay.
And that one was really huge. And I look out my bedroom window, and of course they make their own cloud formations, and I have a picture of it, and that's not in this book because it just happened. It'll be in the book for 2024.
Okay.
Of a mothership. It was wow. It was beautiful.
Wow.
That is awesome. Do you have a social media presence? Are you on Facebook and Instagram and all that? How can people get in touch with you?
I'm on X at Gloria, you know, Gloria Haas, and I'm on Facebook at Gloria.Haas with .9, and Instagram. I'm on Telegram as well under Healings and Teachings, and all my videos are exclusively on Rumble under Celestial Encounters with Gloria Haas, because that's my new podcast that is coming out as
nice,
well.
Nice.
And oh, cool.
In that, I show my first episode, which is Saturday, February 3rd. I have a couple of videos that some people have sent me, but I also show the missile type objects flying horizontally not far from my bedroom window.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's 20 minutes of different extraterrestrial UFOs.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, I know that we have. We have a lot of people that will find this really, really enjoyable, and I know that they'll look you up and check that stuff out.
That would be great. Lowering the stigma as well. Yeah. Yes, there's fascination, but let's lower the stigma, because we don't want people being killed out there. We don't. People are like, well, we don't know who's good or who's bad, so let's just kill everyone. That's
right.
Yeah, that's unfortunately very human nature of us, but yeah.
We got to get over that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gloria, thank you. Gloria. Yeah, thank you. Yes. Great.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys. I've enjoyed this time. It's gone by really fast.
Yeah. We kind of go off and we just... It was great. What a conversation, man. Yep.
Absolutely. When let us know when your new book comes out. We'll have you back to talk about that and share some more stories and whatnot. And we look forward to it.
Oh, me too. Thank you.
Hey, you know what we need?
What's that?
We need a new ad for our merch store.
Our merch store.
I've had a few people reach out to me and ask me, just how do we get What's Your Weird Story merch?
Huh. How do we get that What's Your Weird Story merch?
What's-your, spelled Y-E-R, dash, weird, dash, story, dot, myspreadshop.com.
That's what's dash your, spelled Y-E-R dash weird dash story dot myspreadshop.com.
That's correct. Get in touch with us. Go buy some merch. We got some cool stuff.
Yeah, dude. And you know what? If any of our listeners out there has some really cool ideas or has some really cool What's Your Weird Story type art that they want to see on a t-shirt, get a hold of us. Maybe it'll happen.
Gloria, thank you for reaching out to us. She got in touch with us. We're so happy she did. She has an interesting story. We've never had a story like hers, and we got into some really, really awesome subjects, man. I'm always curious about how people, you know, feel about certain things, and her being an alien and having, you know, talking about her childhood and those things was just like fascinating for me. It was really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, what a unique take on the human experience from someone who is you know, I guess hybrid. I guess, you know, there's right. an alien.
Yeah.
It seems like an alien kind of consciousness, not necessarily spirit, but the alien consciousness inhabiting a body of the human and living that life. And,
yep.
and you know, and just being the ultimate kind of explorer, I guess, the kind yeah. of just, yeah, man, it's wild, dude. I just, you know, it's definition weird for us, for sure. And we don't mean yeah. that in a bad way by any means.
No, no, know? It's
we love that conversation. Yeah, Gloria's a wonderful person, very kind and very, you know, we had a great conversation before and afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
for sure.
And just genuine and, you know, like it's just it's wild.
Yeah.
It's just wild.
We're all sharing in a very wild reality, you know, mm-hmm. and you know, that's the thing. It's like perspective on things, I think, is like is important to have. And when you have a guest on like Gloria, it's a unique perspective and interesting to you know, walk a mile in someone else's shoes. And very cool. We got onto some cool subjects and we talk about these things spiritually that I think is interesting. I'm always curious about people, how they think about the world that we inhabit, this weird, strange world that, you know, on the surface is you know, mundane, and people, you know, we get bored and we have these, you know, sort of, we go through life on the day to day, and sometimes we don't zoom out to see that we're part of something that is greater than us, and we are just a pebble in that. You know, in that massive, massive, massive ocean that is the universe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't. If we're even
a grain of sand,
you know. If yeah. I think our galaxy is maybe a grain of sand. Right. You know.
Yeah.
It's yeah. so yeah. This. I mean, it's so just, you know, really, 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 really big.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really just, big.
It's, you know, we can't even wrap our head around it, you know. And so, you know, there's this literally a universe of experience and other universes now, you know. I mean, they're
right.
with
yeah.
parallel universes, yes. and other dimensions and all these things that we're coming more and more aware of.
Yeah.
You know, on a, you know, a scientific level and a spiritual and consciousness level, you know, we're learning more about this from meeting all these different people and just for, you know, following our interest in science and stories,
yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's, wow.
It's amazing.
It's been a great, amazing journey with a lot of amazing fellow travelers through this existence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
So we thank you again, Gloria, for sharing your story, because it's definitely unique and incredibly interesting, and we definitely loved, you know, to hear more. So hopefully we'll have her back on again. But in the meantime, you can go and check out her books, you know, on Amazon, and you can Google Gloria Haas, Hass, and you'll find a bunch of her stuff. She's out there with all sorts of stuff from healing and spiritual guide type stuff and all sorts of information that she's put out there. So go and dig around and find that and listen to her podcast and all that good stuff. And join us again next week for our podcast, where we've got some more incredible guests, more incredible stories, so much goodness lined up, you know, for the spring and into summer, and so many people coming in line to share their stories here in Weirdsville. But we still want to hear your stories, and we want to hear all your good stuff. You know, we all kinds, you know, we love hearing your life stories. So, you know, contact us.
yeah, just like Gloria did. She contacted us. She got in touch. She wanted to come on, share her story, and we would love to hear yours. We know you've got them. We know you've got the high school hijinks stories, the, you know, what it was like to grow up in an interesting time, whether that be 20 years ago or 60 years ago. Mm-hmm. We want to hear your story for sure.
Yes, yes, indeed. We love hearing all your Bigfoot stories, your ghostly encounters, your scrapes with true crime. I read today somewhere that in a lifetime, in each human's lifetime, they will have talked to 16 murderers.
Wow.
So man, you've had an encounter with a murderer or something like that, and you know some kind of true crime story. We love hearing that as well. Those are intense, but we still love hearing them. And I think that people, you know, it's good for people to hear that kind of stuff too. But we also love hearing the fun stories, like there's all sorts of people that have stories like ambient stories.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, things that happened while to them or were from their family or significant others who have taken Ambien and done things. One of my friends, his dad took Ambien. And my buddy was home from college, and his dad took Ambien, and he's like, come here, son, you know, and his dad already gone to bed, but he got up and he went to bed, and he brought his son out, and he sat him down on the couch, and, you know, and they brought him on the couch, and he pulls out this box, and he opens it up, and it's all his wristwatches. And he starts going through all these wristwatches and telling him about all these wristwatches, but he's doing it in the style of like a QVC home shopping channel kind of a thing.
That's awesome.
You know, so.
Oh, that's great. That's phenomenal, that kind of stories.
We love them all.
Absolutely.
Sorry, my throat got right
there. You're good.
All right. Well, hey, you know how to get a hold of us through our website, our social media, Facebook, Instagram, X, you know, through our email, wywspod@gmail.com. We love hearing all your stories. We love communicating you and hearing your reactions. So do react and let us know. Give us a follow and a rating wherever you follow and listen to us. That helps us get out, get the word out about the podcast, helps us grow. We want to keep growing Weirdsville, and it's been growing this year. We're very excited about that, but we're going to grow exponentially. You know, we want to add more suburbs to Weirdsville. So let's keep doing that. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody out there. You know, post it on your social medias. I listen to Weirdsville, or I like weird stories. I don't know. I don't make the hashtags. I'm the face of this outfit, which is why it's an audio only podcast. So thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Until then, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.